This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. 500, the number. That's a lot of wins. Mike McDonald, Cambridge Isani head coach, just got his 500th win. If you put the McDonald family together, his dad, Bob, the all-time winning coach, is 1,012. I don't know where the rest of them but Mike, do you even have any idea if you took yourself, your father, your brothers, and now sons, nieces and nephews, how many, you know, varsity wins through junior college wins there would be? Do you have any idea what that number would be?
Well, I know my brother Paul has 500 from his coaching up at Vermillion and some of his career at Vermillion Community College in Ely. My brother Tom, who coaches up at Ely High School, also reached 500 a year or two ago. And then, of course, my sons, et cetera, are starting to add to that total as well. I know my son, Rhett's team at Duluth East, of course, made the state tournament last year and had multiple wins there too. So,
yeah. And then you throw in a nephew in Minnetonka, and I mean, the list goes on and on. Forest Lake, I mean, that's a lot of wins. We're 2,500 and counting somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, I'd say 2,500 and counting. Over 2,500 wins, Mike.
Okay, so you got yours the other night. Does that number mean a lot to you, or does it just force you to reflect and think about, this is why I do what I do?
It's a milestone, but I think it's more the second part of it, Mike. It just reflects on you doing what you do, and if you do it long enough, milestones like that occur, I think. That's the major thing, and that, you know, it reflects back on a long career. You know, it's been... This is my 35th year at Cambridge Isani. I had 4 years as a head coach out in Presho, South Dakota, at Lyman High School prior to that. So it's been a lot of games and a lot of wins, and there's a lot of low points, losses in those years as well.
Yeah, and what you and I were talking about earlier today, and there are, I mean, there is a feeling when you lose a game, especially if you think you should have won it or you underperformed. I mean, there's different categories to losses, but it's a pit in the stomach that you can't explain to anyone that hasn't suffered through it. But yet there's something about sports that the greatest thing is by the next day you start to process it, and pretty soon you lost on Tuesday and you got to come back on Friday, and you know you got to have them ready on Friday, and by Friday you're feeling really good again. I mean, talk about a metaphor for life, huh?
Yes, it is. I guess a metaphor for life is it. Yeah, you don't have really time to dwell on the past. You know, I always tell my players that when they're playing the game, they have to play present. You know, they have to play the next possession. I think coaching is a lot like that. You just have to move on from, let's say, a tough loss. We had a loss at the buzzer this year that was very tough to deal with. And as a coach, you have those sleepless nights where you wake up in the middle of the night and start revisiting, you know, some of those experiences. But the bottom line is you have to get over it and you have to move on to the next game. that you need to play. And I think that's it. And that, in a nutshell, is what really life is all about, too.
So when you were playing for your father in the storied days of Chisholm and your brother Paul playing as well, when you came home from the game at night on a Tuesday or Friday, would you guys literally sit at the table and break it down? What was it like?
You know, it was different. It was probably different back then, Mike, because for one thing, it's so easy right now to break things down.
Yeah, first of all, you get to watch it again right away.
Exactly. You know, we have live stream now, and the games, we have Huddle, and, you know, we watch can rewatch games on Huddle and go through that. Back then, I don't remember a whole lot of sitting at the table with my dad and revisiting a game. There was some of that, of course, but I don't think that we dwelled too much. Maybe the fact was is that, you know, I hate to say this, but we were successful up there, so we never really had to break down a whole lot of tough losses. I guess that was the good thing about playing for the Chisholm Blue Streaks.
Now, Mike, when you look at what, you know, as an educator, and certainly a father, but an educator and a coach, what have our kids suffered through the last couple of years with COVID? What have you seen, and what scares you the most about what you've seen our young people go through, and, you know, especially those sophomores, juniors, and seniors that had so much taken away, whether it was a season, a tournament, or crowds?
Yeah, I think this has been some tough times. It's been very different for all of us involved in athletics. My 2020 team, for example, was a Section 7 champion back in 2020, and then the very next day the state tournament was canceled. That was probably, record-wise, that was probably one of the best teams that I've had the opportunity to coach.
What did you tell them when you gathered them that day? What did you tell them?
That was hard. We were actually sitting down in the coach's office getting some stuff ready for television, and one of my players walked in and said, "Coach, they just said the state tournament was canceled." And that was one of the toughest days of my coaching life, to see, like, the dream of playing the state tournament shattered in 2020. And we felt that year that with the scores that we had, that we were able to go to the state tournament out of Section 7 and compete with the best. We had played.
You had Henry, man.
We had Henry at that time. Yes, we had Henry Abraham at that time. And that we were looking forward to getting the state tournament. We thought we could make some noise. And, of course, that was taken away. And then the next year, of course, I had a brand new team and had no summer basketball, and then started playing in January with no kind of prep, and try to struggle through a kind of a makeshift season. And my last game of last season was one of my kids came down with a positive COVID test, and they just canceled. We didn't even play in the tournament.
So you had 2 years where your season ended because of COVID.
2 years because the season ended in COVID. And it's kind of a tragic 2 years in trying to continue on. I guess you talked about losing a game. The only good thing about the 2020 season was the fact we ended a high note. We ended on winning our last game.
Yeah. They always say the only team that can win is the one that wins the state championship, the third place game, or the consolation. But at least in COVID years, you can win. A lot of teams won their last game, huh?
Correct. Yeah, we won our last game, so that was the only positive thing about that season. And this season, you know, we have not been affected by COVID too much, and we're crossing our fingers and hoping that it continues that way. It's so far so good. It's been a for the most part a regular season.
Mike McDonald is our guest, reflecting on 500 wins, part of the McDonald family tree of basketball royalty here in the state, and more importantly, maybe what kids need to get out of it. Another thing that you and I talked about this afternoon, we were talking, and 500, and we talk about wins, and we talk about, you know, the best seasons, and we talk about all that stuff. But there's another piece to this whole thing, and that is that every day, if you engage yourself in the process and you really work hard at it, there's a lot that can come out of a lot of things, including losing, including, you know, being shut down because of COVID. All those things are educational opportunities. Does your vantage point on that change over years as you coach? I mean, when you're first in it, is it all more about winning and educational opportunities? Does your vantage point on that change over years as you coach? I mean, when you're first in it, is it all more about winning, and does it change over time when you see the value of other things and understanding also what you can't control?
Yeah, I think you're right. You can only control what you can control. And I think as a coach, I've changed over the 39 years of being a head coach and 40-plus years of being an assistant, a couple of years beyond that. I think after a while, you know, I think losing early on in my career consumed me a little bit more so than it does now. Not that I would never say that I'm a good loser, Mike. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something that, you know, that you just can't dwell on it, and you just have to move on. And I think that's a little bit what life is all about. I think through COVID and through everything else, it's a lesson in how to handle adversity. And I always tell my kids that, you know, my players, that you might fail, but you can still learn. I think sometimes one of the biggest teachers is failure and how you respond to failure.
Now, your father, I mentioned, you know, 1,012 wins. Everybody knows about Bob and all that went into his coaching career and his resume. And he told me a statistic that I never would have guessed or really thought about. He said he never got a technical foul.
Yeah, that is true.
How could that be, someone that competitive? How did he control himself to that extent?
Well, for what, you know, and don't get me wrong, he was not this quiet guy on the bench.
No!
You know, that's the thing. But the good thing about my dad, he never used any of those so-called magic words.
Ah.
You know, you and I know that there's always those magic words will get you a technical foul. And
Yep. And
that's one thing my dad was ever, you know, my dad was very he was very articulate. My dad was probably one of the most intelligent guys that you know, I grew up with, but I've ever met. And he could really speak, and somehow he was able to get his point across to the referee, sometimes by yelling loudly, that without getting that technical foul. And I think, too, at one time, Mike, I think referees back then maybe had a little bit thicker skin,
okay,
as such as then today. I think, you know, today there's maybe a little more emphasis on proper or improper behavior by coaches on the sideline.
Sure. Sure, and how they interpret that is up to each referee, I guess, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mike McDonald is our guest, Cambridge Iceni head coach, reflecting on 500 wins and really the basketball and competition and a bigger, broader scheme. You mentioned Henry Abraham, great player for you, Division I player a couple of years ago, not the biggest kid on the floor. Every once in a while, you'll walk into a gym, and if you don't know, I watched this Sam Wrench the other night from Hutchinson, and he's got that where you go, wow, that's a lot of hours he poured into this game to get to what you'd be able to do what he's doing right now. You just see that every once in a while. And Henry had that. You know, you walk on the floor and you become kind of, you can't take your eyes off him because every time he's got the ball, something good can happen. If somebody looks at him, what do you tell him? How do you get to that level? Is that just flat out a basketball junkie, or how did he get there without, you know, he's not 6'5", he's not 6'8", but he sure loves the game.
Yeah, and I think what it came down to is just the time spent, the quality time spent working on his game. And, you know, it has a lot to do with skills, but just having the vision, you know, to make decisions, because basketball, of course, is all about it, ever-changing, and just having that feel, that innate feel for the game. And that's something that Henry had as a player that, you know, that made him very special. Again, not quite probably 6 foot tall, but just being able to make plays, whether it be setting up a teammate or getting his feet set and knocking down the three. Henry had all of those qualities as a player.
Yeah, because about the time you say it's a big man's game, you'd watch him and you'd say, no, he just controlled that entire game. He put the big men where he wanted to put them. If he was open, he was going to shoot the three. If you were on your heels, he was going to go to the basket. His eyes were always moving, so he was looking for somebody open. And you realize that, you know, sometimes, pardon the pun, we sell ourselves short, but there is room in basketball for a lot of different ways to be effective in there.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's a, you know, and you can be effective in so many ways. And Henry was that type that was, he was effective as that offensive player, as that point guard, but he was able to see, you know, past maybe the primary defender and see what was happening behind. And I think that vision, I think, is what made him truly special. Not that he didn't have a great amount of skill in shooting the basketball, which, again, would allow him to get past people because you had to come up and guard him so well, too.
Mike, you're also a teacher. You just retired from your teaching responsibilities and you're doing basketball, and you said you found this to be a pretty nice way to go through life right now. You'd have done it sooner if you'd known how much fun it was. But how have the students changed since you started, and how have they evolved, you know, in 1979 versus today?
Great question there. I think, you know, one of the things I think is students have so many more distractions today than what they did. You know, I think from cell phones to social media to there weren't as many distractions. You know, when I started, I mean, we barely had a copy machine. You know, it was yeah. more or less you wrote down all your tests on a piece of paper, and you had the copy machines were different. And you know, watching a video in the classroom, we had those big reel to reel type of projectors.
Yes, that's all that was available. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all that was available. So I think, you know, there's been a whole lot more distractions that, and I think the classroom is different because of that. You know, I was I taught history at Cambridge Sandy High School for my career there, and really enjoyed the classroom piece. But there was so much other stuff that began to creep in with technology, and with that, was those distractions was sometimes a little bit sometimes less discipline at times, and things like that. And I think those distractions were a big part of that.
Okay, my last question for you, and I'm wondering this as we evolve as a society, and that is that what you teach them in, let's just say in history. When I went to school, for most of us, right, you learned what you learned in history, and then you committed it to memory, and that's where you went with it. Now, any question you ask about, whether it's about the War of 1812 or the Declaration of Independence, they can pop it on their phone, and a kid will say, I really don't need to study this because if I need the answer, it's at my fingertips. Has that changed education?
Yeah, you know, I think in a way it has. I think the basics are still, Mike, they're from teaching history, and I'm going to be a little bit philosophical here. I always tell my history students that remember that history is someone's interpretation of the past, and somebody who basically would look at an event, they might interpret it differently because of who they are or what they are.
Absolutely.
I think
great
that's
point.
The important thing. That's the important thing about history, that then that's why I love teaching history for the many years that I did, is simply because of that you could take something, and if you had to have the evidence, that interpretation could change. And history is not as concrete as it is. There are different interpretations out there.
Yeah, if we could go back and talk to the people from Great Britain and England, they probably had a different interpretation of the war than we did. And you know, it just depends on where you're sitting, but you're right. And then it gets written down, and we commit ourselves to whatever it is that we find as facts, but we may or may not be accurate, or we may be selling ourselves short in really investigating it sometimes.
Correct. And, you know, I always used to ask my students this simple question: what is the truth when it comes to the past? And that is a, here we are, kind of philosophical. But that
yeah,
is
but I bet you get some amazing different answers of the same events.
There are. You know, what is taught in Europe might be different than what's taught in the States here.
We could go on all day on that stuff, Mike. Great stuff. Hey, congratulations. Always good to visit with you. Continued success. But thank you for giving us some time tonight.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You guys take care, and it's great great being with you, Mike.
You bet. Mike McDonald, head coach, right. Cambridge Isani, 500 wins and counting. Stay with us on Sports to the Max.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.